I'd like to welcome you to church today, and I hope I can get through the whole thing, but good morning and welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God, soon to be welcome to Engage Church. But for right now, it's New Sharon Assembly of God. And my name is Mike, and I'm the pastor here. And I want you to know that we're very excited and thrilled that you would choose to join us today. Today, we're launching a new sermon series titled David. Does anybody know who David is? I'm not talking about Dave Gurman. Different David. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to cover the life of David, and today's sermon title is Chosen and Anointed. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 16 this morning, and I hope you have your Bible or someone next to you has one that you can share with. In fact, I had a couple of people tell me this morning, I brought my Bible with me. Good, I'm not giving out candy today. The result is that you're bringing your Bible even when there's no candy. And so, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And while you turn there, did you know that it took Michelangelo 4 years to craft his statue of David? 13 feet tall, he used flawed marble. In fact, we know the exact quarry the marble came from. And the same block of marble was actually rejected by another artist because it had breaks and impurities in the marble. But Michelangelo was able to see that the core of the marble was good. And I think that appropriately describes King David. He was broken and flawed. He had many imperfections. But God saw who he was at his core. See, the core of who we are is our heart. Right here. It's who we are when we are alone and nobody is looking. It's the part of us that only God can see. It's where our passions, our fantasies, our desires, and our commitments reside. Our heart. God doesn't choose and anoint us because of our titles. He doesn't choose and anoint us because of our education. He doesn't choose or anoint us because of our income level. Rather, he chooses and anoints us by what is in our heart. And God alone knows what's in your heart. Let's get to our scripture this morning. First Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him who I declare to you." Very clear instructions there, right? Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said peaceably, "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Verse 6, when they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward performance." This is key. "But the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. 1st, I just want to say, how defeating would it have been for Jesse to have 7 of his finest looking boys walk before the priest to hear the Lord's rejected them? He left David in the field, the lowliest of lowest, out being a shepherd. Forget him. He's not going to be the king. Samuel said, "Go get him. We're not sitting down until he arrives." The Lord chose David. Church, I need you to hear this morning that the Lord chooses you. David was anointed as God's king for Israel. But do you know that it took about 15 years from the time of this happening, what we just read in Scripture, took 15 years before David finally became the ruling king of Israel. Now, if you want to know what happened in those 15 years, it's a really cool adventure. If you wrote a comic book about it, you'd sell a lot of them. Go read it. Go open up 1 Samuel and read through 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and read the stories of what took place in this 15 years. In fact, let me encourage you to open your Bible and read it as part of your personal devotions. We're not reading the 5-day Bible reading plan, but you know what? I don't like not being able to say that every week, because it had it laid out. We knew people were reading. People were talking about what they were reading. And now I just hope that everybody's reading their Bible. That's the job of every Christian, right? We're to read our Bible. It's not a duty, but rather it's for us to get to know the Father. And so let me encourage you, if you're not reading something right now in your personal devotions, go and read 1 and 2 Samuel. It's found in the Old Testament. God, through the Holy Spirit, led the prophet Samuel to Jesse's family. He said, "Go, and I will show you, for I have chosen one to replace his king." Not you're going to go pick somebody, but I have already chosen. So he led Samuel to Jesse's family to find and anoint the next king of Israel. Samuel thought to himself several times, "Oh, this must be the king," based on the son's appearance. In fact, at least 7 times he assumed. But the Lord corrected that thinking when he said to Samuel, "The Lord, I look at their hearts. I don't look on their appearance. I look what's in their heart." As all of Jesse's 7 sons, other sons, passed before him, until David came. And when David passed, the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." Now, I would have disliked being one of those 7 brothers as well, because now the youngest runt, who we probably pick on all the time, has just been anointed God's chosen king for Israel. So Samuel, he had to listen to the Holy Spirit in the selection. If he wouldn't have listened to the Holy Spirit, he may have picked the very first brother and said, "Well, that was easy. This is done. Here's your king." Purely based on appearance. But because he did listen to the Lord, David was the one that was anointed as the next king of Israel. If we look at Psalm 78 and Acts 13, these confirm that David was selected by God because he had the right heart. If you look at Psalm 78, 70 through 72, it says, "He chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them. Upright heart. And guided them with his skillful hand. Acts 13:22 says, "And when he had removed him, being Saul, when God had removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified, he being God, of whom God testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will." God looked at David's core, his heart, right here, the core of who we are, and found someone he could work with. That's all this is, finding somebody he could work with. David had a passion and a desire for God. He depended on the Lord as his spiritual shepherd. The same way you guys look to the Lord as your shepherd, and I'm the intermediary shepherd. Listen, I have to look to God as my supreme shepherd. I can't shepherd unless I have been shepherd. David had a strong desire to know God, and if you need proof of that, go read Psalms. He had a strong desire to know God, and he had a desire to follow God's direction. This is why God chose him. This is why God said, it is he, anoint him. So like Michelangelo, who took that block of marble with all of its imperfections and was able to carve out the statue of David, so God began to mold David into God's masterpiece. King David is arguably the greatest king that Israel ever had. And what we need to understand today, you ready? Everybody listening? Is that all of us can be chosen and anointed just like David. Maybe not to be kings and queens. I mean, maybe, but is there any royalty here? Yeah, you don't know because God's not chosen you, anointed you for that yet, right? But we can be chosen and anointed to be used by God. In the same way that the Holy Spirit led Samuel and David back then, the Holy Spirit leads us now. Arguably, we need the Holy Spirit now more today than ever before. We can walk in the same anointing when we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Today we talked about applying Scripture to our lives and how sometimes we like to justify, if you will. Lord, I want this in my life. I really want this. And I'm going to ask 1,500 times. And then I'm going to say, but if you close the door, but then all of a sudden, well, it's not about closing the door. It's about that open window that you left cracked. Lord, I see the light. I'm going to go through it. It's easy for us to justify and try to make God's will or our will God's will. But if we truly walk in God's will, we're willing to decline our own desires for his desire. We're willing to go after him and not about the things that we're pursuing in life. No matter what the Spirit asks us to do, we should find ourselves in a spot that we do it. Because like David, our hearts desire God more. Our hearts yearn for more of the Lord. We're willing to lose everything in this life if it means I get to stand in God's presence. Because his presence is so much better than my paycheck, than my family, better than my motorcycle. Listen, all of that goes away one day. All I leave here with is my spirit. And it's more important for me to be able to stand before the Lord than to lose everything because I was focused on this stuff and not on God. We must share the heart that David had. share the heart that he had that was after God, which means we must be responsive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. And we depend on the Lord as our spiritual shepherd. He becomes our shepherd. And we possess a strong desire to know God and to follow his direction for our lives. See, God looks at all of us. Every single one of us, God looks at. He looks at your heart. He looks at our heart and he says, I want you to have a heart that I can mold and shape into a masterpiece. I want to make your marriage, I want to make your family, your life, your future, your plans into my masterpiece. Will you let me? Will you allow me? Will you allow God to mold and shape you into the person that he wants you to be? Do you find yourself desiring more of the Lord or a bigger paycheck? It is when we say yes to that, that God starts working in our lives. Now, we have no idea what God's going to use us for. We don't know what path we'll walk down. I sincerely doubt that David ever thought he was going to be king up until that day. He was a shepherd, considered the lowliest of lowliest. But God called him out of the field and said, no, today you're my king. I anoint you as leader of Israel. We have no idea what God's going to use us for. But when we are willing to submit our will to have his will, when we submit to his will for our lives, and just a side note, in case you don't know this, the Lord's plans for your life are better than your plans for your life. I can attest to that. My plans, I would be in Wyoming right now being a conservation officer. I'm glad that I'm here today, though, right? His plans are better than our plans, far superior. The Holy Spirit will lead us into a deeper relationship with the Lord when we say, Lord, I desire you above all else. I remember, and some of you have heard this, so I've tried to make it a really brief. Give me one second here. I need a drink. I remember when I came to the point of putting it all on the line for the Lord. Would have been September of 2008 in my apartment. I put it all on the line. I said, Lord, it's yours. I submit everything to you. The Holy Spirit instantly convicted me of a couple of things, my tobacco and my alcohol use. I was able to dump it all and never go back. Then he challenged my mindset towards relationships and how I treated relationships in my life. And I think that we all have things in our life that we can say that the Holy Spirit has led us away from. If we've been a Christian for any length of time, even if it's 2 days, there's something that the Holy Spirit has led you away from because it wasn't going to be good in your life. This is the molding that God wants to do in our lives. Ridding myself of tobacco and alcohol, that had to happen. Because how could I stand up here today with a dip of tobacco in my mouth or a cigarette hanging? I've never seen a pastor do that, but I'm sure somewhere there probably is. But this is the molding that God wants to do in our lives. And it requires a heart like David's that desires the Lord more than anything else. Now, if you know anything about David, do we know David was not perfect? Far from perfect, right? We know that he committed some egregious acts. However, before we point out David, we should know that we're also not perfect. I'm not perfect, and I promise each and every one of us have committed egregious acts. But, like David, our hearts must remain steadfast towards the Lord. Our hearts should still desire the Lord more. David understood that the Lord was what he needed and where he needed to be, all else was not worth anything compared to the presence of the Lord. This is the heart that God desires. This is the heart that God can work with, that he can start to mold. He can work everything else out. Listen, if you have something in your life that you're ashamed and you've kind of put up this wall and said, I really can't because the Lord's not going to... That's a lie from Satan. If you are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, God can take any situation that has ever had been in your life and turned for his glory. He can use you in your current capacity regardless of what your past has been like. He can work everything else out. But our hearts have to be in the position of desiring him above all else. God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. He's chosen and he's anointed us for service in his kingdom. Listen, he doesn't choose and anoint me to be a motorcycle rider. No. Kelly got the joke. But can I use that as a ministry? Absolutely, I can. Can you use your job as a ministry? Absolutely. Is he concerned about anything other than the building of his kingdom? The Lord desires that no one should perish, but all would come to everlasting life. So when we're chosen and anointed, it's to be kingdom builders, no matter what that capacity is. Will you let him mold you into the next King David? No, I'm not sitting here telling you today you're going to be kings. I don't need this to end up online and say that there's blasphemy coming from the pulpit. In essence, what I'm saying is, do you have a heart that is ready to be molded by the Lord because you desire him above all else? Are you willing to let God take your past and shape it and use it for his glory today? When our hearts are after the Lord, there's nothing he can't do with us. And I can't stress that enough. If our hearts are after the Lord, there is nothing he cannot do with us. In fact, engaging our community for Jesus, it becomes a lot easier when it's all about the Lord and less about ourselves and less about our church. Stacy, if you want to come on up. Like David, do you have a passion and a desire for God? Do you depend on the Lord as your spiritual shepherd? Are you going to the shepherd every day? Do you have a strong desire to know God and follow his direction? Or is coming to church on Sunday just something that we check off on our list because we're good Christians? Do we have a desire to follow God's direction? If yes, then the Lord can and will use you. If not, I'd like to just challenge you today. If your desire is not more of the Lord, I want to submit to you that you're missing out on what the Lord has for you. Because of where you've placed these walls, where you're unwilling to let go, where the Lord says, I've already forgiven you. He's just waiting for you to give him that opportunity to mold you. Some would argue that Michelangelo's greatest piece was the statue of David. God looks at each and every one of us as his greatest masterpiece. But are we willing to let him mold us to be that person? I would just ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes today. See, God chose each and every one of us when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He made a way. He made a way for us to be reconciled to him. Jesus bore the cross for your sin. The stuff that you're hanging on to from your past that you say disqualify you from being a Christian, Jesus says, I took it. You're qualified to be in a relationship with me. Jesus took it to the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. But the next step is ours. The next decision is ours. We have to choose to step into that relationship. We have to choose to step into that forgiveness, to receive the work of the cross. When we do this, church, we are His. We become chosen and anointed as a son and as a daughter of the Lord King Most High. So whether this is in a brand new way, you've never said, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. Or this is in a fresh way. I've said this a couple times, but Mike, life is really hard and I keep making mistakes. Listen, the Lord covers every bit of it. So whether, again, this is in a new way or in a fresh way, today you can step into that saving relationship with Jesus. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that we have to do. There's no action besides words, and it doesn't even say prayer. Romans 10:9 tells us that we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if that's you this morning, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're here today and you don't have that relationship with Jesus and you want that relationship with Jesus, would you please just raise your hand? Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Church, I'm just going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me, to pray with the people who have raised their hand this morning. For those of you who raised your hand, I need you to understand, it has nothing to do with the words that we are speaking right now, but it goes back to our sermon. It's about the heart. It's about our core. It's about who we are. Are we willing to submit it for the Lord, for Him to do the work in us that He wants to do in and through us? So if you would, church, join with me in this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for taking my place. I believe that you died and rose again on the third day. You are Lord. You are my Savior. Please forgive me. I dedicate myself to you today and forward. Change me. Mold me. Help me to have a heart that desires you above all else. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Four people this morning, church. For those of you who raised your hand, God's got a plan for you. For those of you who raised your hand, life is going to be different. You can choose to go back to your old life, or you can choose to lean into the new life. And I promise you, the new life is so much better than the old life. There comes a day when you will be dancing on the streets of gold because of the decision you made here today. For that, I say, praise the Lord. As we close today, church, you know that I like to open the altar, because I've had my own moments at the altar where I've come and I've cried out to the Lord and I've given situations to Him and I've said, Lord, take it away from me. I can't do this on my own. The fact is, and here's what we have to understand, as believers, we are all chosen and anointed for service in God's kingdom. First and foremost, we are all chosen. Ask yourself this morning, Where is my heart? Where has my heart been? What things have I focused on? What has my heart been after? Have I been after my desires? Have I been after what pleasures me? Or has it been towards the Lord to pursue His desires and His pleasures for my life? I can't answer that question for you. That's between you and God. But church, I want you to know, I want to pray with you as your pastor. So regardless of how you answer, if it was affirmative or negative to either of those questions, I just want to pray. I want to pray that the Lord's Spirit would start to lead you, would take you deeper than you've already been, that your desire for Him would grow more every single day. Church, I'm silly enough to believe that a revival can start here in New Sharon. I'm silly enough to believe that a community of 1,300 people, I would say less than half attend a church here in New Sharon. Probably more like less than like 15%. So, don't know where to go serve? You have a community that needs Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to let worship team lead us in a song. Church, I can't stress this enough. If you want prayer, just stay standing at the altar. If you want to just spend time in prayer between you and God, just ask that you would kneel at one of the benches or at the altar. I want God's Spirit to do what He can. So I'm going to step out of the way now, and we're going to let Him do what He does best. Amen?